It's good to be back with you. It seems like I just saw many of you. And it's always good to be back at our home church. It's always an honor and a privilege to be back here. And we do want to invite any of you who can, please stop down by the trailer. We're excited about it, of course, but also this is an answer to prayer. And so encourage us so much when one of you will come up and say, "Hey, Brother Ben, we've been praying for you and praying that the Lord would work." And so there's a rather large answer to prayer sitting at the end of the hallway. And so I'll be at the back table, or the table in the lobby, rather, after the service for a little while. And then we'll head on down there, and you're more than welcome to come through. We like to do open house when we first get one, because that's probably the last time it'll be this clean. All right? And because I and my kids live in it, my wife's very clean, but I do my best. Some of you remember me from years ago, so we won't talk any more about that. But I'd like you to grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. The topic in which I want to speak this morning might seem a little bit unique for Sunday morning, but I enjoy this topic so much, I want to share this enjoyment with you by way of going to this passage and taking a look. What I want to do this morning is, first of all, start with this passage of Scripture specifically. We'll skip around a little bit. But I hope that this will not only be a blessing to you this morning, but perhaps will cause you to think about some things in a new and fresh way. The Bereans were commended for their ability, their desire to go to God's Word and to test things out to see whether these things be so. And this morning what I want to do is go to God's Word and then illustrate some principles that I believe we can find here. And I trust it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. I'm so grateful for this location. I'm so grateful for this place. And of course, I'm not speaking about the building per se. I'm speaking about the people. I was thinking recently, I was typing something on that one world system called Facebook. I'm joking, okay? That wasn't very funny, apparently. But I wrote on there, I'm so grateful for what God has done, particularly, as many of you know, I grew up here. And I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for the school here. And my dad has always reminded me, "Ben, you are the product. We are all the products of what God and others have done." And as I stand here and look out at so many different folks that have an impact in my life, whether it was a long time ago or as recent as 2 weeks ago, my heart is full of gratitude. And I want to say thank you. And we can never say that enough. Say, why are you talking about that? Well, one of the things that I gained while I was here was a love and appreciation for music. I remember growing up in the elementary side of things and being introduced to little things called flutophones. Right? How many of you are familiar with flutophones? Recorders? Yes, they sound great when you first start. Or when there's a whole classroom full of kids playing. I was one of those. I remember playing in band, junior high band, and getting the opportunity to end up on my favorite instrument of all, tuba. When I speak to young people, I tell them I play heavy metal. All the youth leaders kind of say, "Wow, that's interesting." And I say, "Well, I play tuba." And then they, "Oh." But I have gained, of course, I come from a musical family, so that helps too. But here in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, we come upon a story where King Saul has turned his back on God. And I think it's important for us to realize that any time we turn our back on God in our life, we run the risk and the danger of what happens next. And that is that God will cease to lead us and guide us and direct us. Now, I want to be very clear of something here, and that is that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit did not indwell the believer. Many of you are aware of this. The Holy Spirit would come upon a believer to empower them for a task. That's why David prays, "Remove not, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That's why Samson, when he gave away his secret, the Bible says when he woke up, he wist not, he didn't even know that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. The Holy Spirit had departed from Saul. Friend, that is something you and I as believers in this day and age do not have to fear. The Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us into the day of redemption. That's a great blessing we have. By the way, another great blessing is the completed Word of God. If you think about it, the Old Testament saints did not have the completed Word of God. They were living it. But we have God's Word for us. That's another great advantage that we have. But don't let that part about the Holy Spirit confuse you, all right? Here's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse number 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp." We'll talk about harps in a moment. "And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Saul's going to like this idea. Saul's turned his back on God. God has allowed an evil spirit to trouble him, and he is having a terrible time. His servants say, "Hey, we've got an idea. Let's find a skillful musician." Well, who are they going to find? David. Keep reading here. Let's skip down to verse 18. "Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." Now, friends, wouldn't you like to have that as your description? Wow. They find David, and of course, verse 23 we'll get to in a moment. David comes on the scene and God's going to use him mightily. I want to speak to you this morning on a subject I call the power of music. The power of music. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these folks here, for this church that has taught me so much. I learned 80% of my doctrine before I ever left this place to go to college as a result of the good teaching I received here, both in the school and the church. Lord, I pray this morning in this time that we have, guide us, guide our hearts and our thoughts, guide me. Lord, if there's anything I planned on saying that I shouldn't say, I pray that you would help me to forget it. And if there's anything I hadn't planned on saying that I need to say, Lord, I pray you put that into my mind. Bless us now in this time, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verse 23. "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." This is a wonderful story of how Saul is helped by David. Now, I want to go over a couple things here really quickly. And you can call them, personal irritations. Here's one. One is that sometimes there seems to be this idea that if you are a man and a musician, that somehow you are less of a man. You know what I'm saying? That it sometimes can be the persona. I wouldn't suggest that you go up to David and say, "Well, you know, David, you're really not really a real man." After he kills the lion, right? After he kills the bear, almost said lions, tigers, and bears. I don't think he killed the tiger, just the lion and the bear, right? I don't suggest you go up to David after he has finished off Goliath and say, "You know what, David, because you're a musician, that means you're somewhat less than a man." I've appreciated so much the role models of many male musicians here in this place who sit down and play their instruments or stand up and play their instruments in a God-honoring, manly way. When I sit at the piano, my desire is not to play in a feminine way, but rather a manly way. And let me tell you, musicians, particularly young men who are musicians, or you have some musical talent and ability, don't let that stereotype hinder you from serving the Lord. You be someone that steps out and says, "By God's grace, I'm going to be like David and play like a man. I'm going to sing like a man." I appreciate Brother Donnelly up here singing. Just a few days ago, he's up on the roof, right? You know, roofing. And that's no small task. I tried it before and I'm scared of heights. That wasn't very fun. But, and he's up here singing. That's a good thing to remember. Number two, a lot of people think of David's harp as one of these, you know, things. He did not lug that around with him. He did not put a huge, gigantic orchestral harp on his back out to the place where the sheep are grazing.
Got to go tend the sheep again. Put this harp on my back. Oh.
It was much more like we would think of as an acoustic guitar, like was played this morning. So here's David. I tend to think of him as a guitarist, practicing with the sheep. That's the second observation I want to make. The third is simply this. Be ready and practice, because you never know when God's going to call on you. You never know. David was playing to the sheep one moment, and the next moment he's playing for the king. Oh, what a reminder that is for us, isn't it? I want to leave you with four thought-provoking statements here this morning. For those of you who are detail-oriented, three of them are going to match very well. The fourth will not match and might irritate some of you who are detail-oriented. When we get to the fourth, if you can think of a way that I can phrase it so that it matches the other three, I was going to say I'd give you royalties on it, but no, I'll give you 5 cents or so. But the first statement I want you to think about as we talk about this subject of music is that music has physical power. So what do you mean by that, Brother Ben? Well, look at the verse. It says, David took an harp and played with his hands, so Saul was refreshed. I'd like everyone to do something with me, if you would, this morning. Take a deep breath in. Are you ready? And then we'll let it out. Here we go. Good job. Good job. I won't do that again. Some of you will either faint or fall asleep. All right? That is the Hebrew word here. It means, that word refresh means to breathe freely. To breathe freely. That's a physical term. And by the way, David here, the Bible says he played the harp. It doesn't even say that he sang. I want you to realize something. When we talk about the power of music today, I'm not really talking about the words. I would hope that every one of us in here would agree that the words that we sing or that we say ought to both line up with God's word and be appropriate for a Christian, particularly as we're in God's house. I know we would agree on that. The Bible places the emphasis here on the music that is played. Now, he may have sung with it. That's entirely possible, maybe even probable. But the Bible's talking about the music. The music that David played had, first of all, a physical effect on Saul. Now, why is that? Well, I want you to consider something. Music, I'm sure many of you know this, but music is not the written notes on a page. Music is what we hear. Well, how do we hear it? It travels by sound waves. Music, first and foremost, is sound. Sound is physical. Let me illustrate. I want you to imagine, if you would, that I had a chalkboard up here. What? And I had significantly longer nails than I have. Someone gave me a guitar not too long ago, and I was trying to learn it, so I grew my nails out a little bit. And then I went down a missions trip to Mexico and heard how well they play down there, and now I feel like giving up. But anyway, long nails, right? And I go up to that chalkboard. Just want to be a blessing to you this morning, you know. Say thank you, Brother Ben. I appreciate it. That's just sound. That's not music. That's just sound. And it had a physical effect on most of you. I can see you. Sound, first and foremost, affects us that way. Here, I'll be a further blessing to you here. How about this? How many of you enjoy that? A few of you? All right. Maybe you're not having a good day. Oh, Brother Ben, why are you doing that? Well, those notes, they bother us. Why? They're right next to each other. It's affecting us somehow. Many of you know that I'm a Michigan State Spartan fan. I come by it honestly. My dad used to chart the halftime shows for the marching band back in the day. And occasionally we'll go back for alumni band day, where there will be over 1,000 marching band musicians that come back for that day. Let me tell you, when you're standing in front of 350 trombones, and they're blaring out a John Philip Sousa march, you feel it. And when they march down that street on the way to the football game, you know, and the whole drum section comes by with the toms, you know, all this stuff. My brother can actually do the whole cadence thing with his mouth. It's pretty incredible. Ask him next time you see him. But let me tell you, you feel that. I mean, the drums as they're going, drum, don't you feel it right here, you know? And I'm ready to go charge into the stadium myself. Why is that? First of all, it's a physical effect on us. I remember a friend of mine from high school. He said, Ben, you got to hear this. And he had a Camaro at the time. And he said, I just took third place in the Detroit Sound Off competition. And he had his Camaro full of subwoofers and things. You know, sometimes you're trying to sleep at night and someone drives by like that. Well, he put me in his car and he said, oh, you got to hear this, you know. And he knew we were not the same on the music issue. He was kind to me. He turned on some symphonic music for me, you know. But let me tell you, you did not just hear the music. You felt the music. Now, be honest now. How many of you have a surround sound system where you can watch movies or listen to music? Yeah, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? All right, some of you were afraid to raise your hand, okay? That's incredible to immerse yourself in the experience and a train explodes or a plane goes by. Yeah, I mean, that is something that's just an incredible, incredible thing to immerse. What's going on? Music, because it's sound, first of all, affects us physically. There's a lot more we could talk about there, but I want to keep moving for sake of time here this morning. And just think about this. Sound waves literally touch you. Keep going, though. It says, so Saul was refreshed and was well. Was well. The Hebrew word, yatab, it means to be glad. It means to, here's Saul and he's depressed and he's having dark times and all this stuff. And then the music comes and what happens? First of all, he breathes freely. And then his emotions are put at ease, finally. Many of you have had that experience where, probably all of us probably have had that experience where we've been so discouraged or distraught. And then we listen to music and it calms us. Oh, what power it has. Here's a junior high girl. And she had a really bad day at school. And she comes home. Sorry, I'm picking on junior high girls. She comes home from school and she says, I've got to get up to my room. Maybe she knows that a teacher has it out for her. Or little Johnny doesn't like her anymore. Whatever it is. It was a terrible day. And she runs into her room and she throws her books down on the table. And she flops on the bed and she gets her iPod. And turns on the music. Oh. Music's emotional. That's the second thing I want you to remember, by the way. Music has emotional power. Music has emotional power. Remember these notes I played for you earlier? It's just such a blessing. I want you to imagine in your mind's eye that we're at the ocean. There's a little boy playing on the sand, and he kind of wades into the water a little bit. It's such a wonderful scene. You know, that was my attempt at waves. All right. The birds are tweeting or whatever they do, you know, and you hear the sound. And then as the boy is playing in the water, you hear this. Get out of the water! Why do you say that? The music's telling you something. Something's going to happen. And I think it has something to do with teeth. Imagine they hired me to write a horror movie. And they wanted me to pen the music for it. And it's supposed to be just a terrible water movie, okay? And I came up, I said, I've got scary music for you. You ready? Here it is. I don't think it would be very successful. Unless it was called Revenge of the Goldfish. You know why this? There's tension in those notes, isn't there? Well, a brilliant composer by the name of John Williams took those two notes and the inherent tension and just cycled the notes back and forth. And now we've got a famous soundtrack that just about everyone in America is familiar with. Isn't that something?
But I can't pay the rent.
You'll pay the rent. You'll pay the rent.
But I can't pay the rent.
I'll pay the rent.
My hero.
That's the story of how my wife and I met.
You got the sad music right. It's communicates going along with it.
You've got the villain.
And you've got the hero. I don't know why the hero talks like this, but he does.
It's emotional. It's telling you something. How about this? You know, there's a reason why most of you will feel dreaming, flying, thinking, something of that nature. Here's a normal scale. I'm going quickly here, but here's a normal scale. You could tell it was supposed to end. Why? It's just the way it were. I mean, that's it. This scale, however, does not have a beginning or an ending. It's called the whole tone scale. Many of you musicians are familiar with it. Just keeps going. So when I play those notes together, there's this feeling of baselessness. Why is that? It's communicating to us emotionally. I like having some young people in the audience because they can't help but respond a little bit, you know.
We as adults, we learn.
But it's communicating to us emotionally. You know, happy or sad. Oh, I've got to do one more. I forgot about this one. How about this? All right, now many of you will have the urge. It's great slow motion music, you know. Dum, dum, dum. Oh, here we go. Isn't that something that music speaks to us this way? What about music in elevators at the more expensive places? Some of you who are claustrophobic might remember this. They'll try to play music in elevators so you feel like there's more space there. I always think of old comedy movies where, you know, someone like Jerry Lewis tries to get into the elevator and it's already full of people and he's the only one facing this direction, you know. Probably needed a little Muzak there, you know, to give him some space. What's going on here? The music is communicating emotionally. Music has emotional power. You know, if I make a joke about your brother or sister, you know, some of you might agree with me, think it's funny. If I joke about your favorite football team, some of you get a little upset. But if I criticize your music, I've got World War III on my hands. Why is that? And me too, including myself. Why is that? Because music wraps itself around our heart. Music is emotional. I don't think of any other language that expresses more of who we are than music does. And when someone criticizes our music, we feel like they are criticizing us because it's so much a part of who we are. That's why this issue can be so volatile, because it's a part of us. It speaks to us and we use it to speak. I can imagine David as a shepherd boy expressing his heart. Of course, we've got the hymn book of the Bible, which God used David to write. I wish we could hear the music, too. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Music is a powerful thing. And by the way, some of you may think, well, Brother Ben, I don't know if this really applies to me. I'm not a musician. Well, I want you to just think about this for a second. I am not an electrician. I don't really understand how electricity works. I've learned the hard way that, you know, it works certain ways. All right. As we wire into different churches, you know, with my trailer and things like that. I don't have to be an electrician to learn to respect the power that electricity has. Friend, you don't have to be a musician to learn to realize that there is power here. Excuse me. Some of you will have the urge to run around like spies. Why is it? The music is telling you. It's speaking to you emotionally. Do you realize that the movie, and I rely on that a lot just because it's something that we all understand. The movie industry makes millions of dollars on their music. Why? Because they know if they don't match the right music to the movie, it's going to flop. Well, here's King Saul breathing freely, finally. He was made well. And then the evil spirit departed from him. Friend, music has spiritual power. Music has spiritual power. You know, Ephesians, for sake of time, you don't have to turn there. Many of you have this verse memorized, but Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about that we are not supposed to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. And by the way, at the end of that verse, there's a semicolon, not a period. And as a musician and a preacher, sometimes when someone preaches on that verse, I say, please keep going. The thought isn't done, because the very next thing he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do you realize music, it ought to be the outflow of a spirit-filled believer? What about Colossians chapter 3, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. What are we supposed to do? Teach and admonish one another. With what? Music. Music has spiritual power. I could spend a lot of time, and some people have done this. I don't feel compelled to do this. Some people spend a lot of time quoting different secular musicians who are dark in what they write, and they're very open and honest about the fact that they're trying to create spiritual darkness with the music that they write. If you're interested in that, you can find that. You just search it, and people will tell you. But the point of the matter is simply this. That music has spiritual power. Music has physical power. It has emotional power. It has spiritual power. I want to illustrate something for you. Those are the three sentences that kind of match each other. All right. Here's sentence number 4 is coming in a moment. I want to illustrate something for you. I'm going to play a song that many of you probably know. And I want you to pay close attention because I'm going to change it on you in a moment. How many of you know this song? You couldn't play it, maybe, but you know what I'm playing. Anyone? All right, good. All right, at first I thought only 3 of you knew it. What's that called? What's the name of that? That's right, The Entertainer. That's a style of music called ragtime. Ragtime is very square, okay? And then I play the melody against it. It's kind of like a little salt there, a little spice. All the kids went out to the children's church. I like to have them in here because they start bouncing around, you know. I'm going to change it on you, though, and I want to see if you can feel it. Okay? Here's the first way. All right? One more time. I'm going to change it. Here it comes. How many of you could feel a change? Maybe you couldn't describe it completely, but you could feel it. Okay, one more time. First way. Okay, second way. You feel the difference? I want you to pretend. Oh, the second way is called swing, by the way. And what swing does is it takes a rhythm and goes like this with it. Instead of being square, it bounces it back and forth. That's why it's called swing, because it swings, okay? Pretty complicated. I want you to imagine that you were an employer, and you have an opening for one new employee. And you have asked that they sing their application. I don't know why, it's your business. But you have two applicants. Here's the first applicant. Now, I'm going to make up silly words, but the first applicant is going to sing his application the first way. All right? So he comes in, and he sings words like this. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. I know I looked dumb. I'm sorry. That's the first guy. Here's the second guy. He's going to sing his application the second way that I played on the piano. Are you ready? Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. Let me ask you a question. If you are a wise business owner, who will you hire? The first guy. But why? They said the same thing, but they didn't say it the same way. Let me ask husbands a question. Wives, do not help them. Does tone of voice matter? Don't help them, I said. Yes, it does. If I say, honey, I love you. That's pretty straightforward. If I say, honey, I love you, I'm going to be sleeping on the second floor, and you know that we live in a travel trailer. Sure, tone of voice matters. What I'm illustrating for you here is the last thing I'd like you to remember, and that is music expresses attitude through its style. So just like the way, I remember, I don't know how many of you have ever seen the musical, The Music Man. But The Music Man has a lot of my favorite songs in it, different things. And The Music Man is a teacher that's come to town. He's trying to teach the people how to sing and do music, and that's why they call him The Music Man. And he says something interesting. He says, singing is just sustained talking. If I start slowing down what I'm doing, I'm getting close to singing, aren't I? There's really not a difference between the two, except the fact that I'm slowing my speech down. So when we just like I can speak with tone of voice and communicate things, but not just by what I'm saying, but how I'm saying it, that leads me to the fourth statement, that musical style equals attitude. Musical style equals attitude. Here, let me illustrate here. There's a song, and I hope this doesn't bother many of you. This is an old romantic song that I'm not very good at playing, but I certainly don't mean to put anyone ill at ease here, but hopefully you'll understand the illustration here. Here's a romantic song that I'm going to do my best to play a line or two of in a romantic way. You ready? The evening breeze caressed the trees tenderly. Okay, I'm not playing it right. You see, but it's kind of schmaltzy, right? That's a musical term. I learned from Mrs. Sue Cuddy. Schmaltzy. Kind of romantic, you know. That song, some of you may know that song, was also performed by a group popularly known as the Electric Mayhem Band. How many of you know who I'm talking about? The Muppet Show. All right. Remember Animal? Anyone remember Animal on the drums, right? Animal, 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 right? They decided they wanted to do this song. And you can actually see this. and it's really, really funny. But they said, a lot of people say we can only do hard rock, but we'd like to illustrate for you. We could do romantic songs, too. We're going to do, for some of you moms and pops, we're going to do Tenderly. The evening breeze caress the trees tenderly. And I'll tell you what, my wife hates that video clip. But I'll play that, and she's, no, don't play this again. And I die laughing. And so does the audience. Why? Because the way in which they're playing the music does not match the words. As we draw to a close here, I want you to consider something. Some people today would say that God's Word doesn't speak to musical style. Let me ask you a question. Does God's Word talk about attitude? Yes. Well, if musical style equals attitude, then the logical conclusion would be that any verse that talks about our attitude can be applied in principle form to our music. Does the Bible talk about communication? Oh, yes. Say, but Brother Ben, it's talking about what we say. Well, let me ask you a question. If I write it down, is it still going to be judged by God? Well, yes. Well, that's being written down. Can someone curse or swear in Braille? I'm not trying to be silly. I'm asking. It's communication. The point is communication. Excuse me. Text or words plus context equals meaning. How many of you have ever been taken out of context? All right. That's irritating, isn't it? Why is that? Because someone misrepresents what we're trying to say by removing our words. It may be the very same words that we said, but they take it out of the context in which it was said. You lose some of the meaning. Not only that, you can contradict the very thing that you were saying by flipping the context. Do you realize the Bible says there is no God? Excuse me. There is no God. The Bible says there is no God. Say, Brother Ben. Pastor Dan, get him out of here, quick! Oh, I didn't give you the context, though, did I? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. What am I trying to say here? That how you say something helps determine the meaning of what you're saying. Now, why is this important? I think this is important because, for several reasons. Number one, people ask me a lot. They say, Brother Ben, we have a heart desire to teach our kids good music and things of this nature. And we know that music has power of some sort, but we're not musicians. We don't understand it. And really, if we read a book about it, I mean, books are one of the most terrible ways to talk about music. Why? Because you can't hear a book. Now, if someone's reading it on CD, I guess you could hear it. But it's like comparing apples and oranges. But when we start thinking of musical style as attitude, listen, I can detect changes in my kids' attitudes. Well, could I write it down in a book? Not always. In fact, probably not most of the time. And I realize in a crowd this size and my history and background here, I know that not everyone sees eye to eye on this issue. That's fine. That doesn't bother me in the least. I'm not a pigeonhole person. You've got to agree with me in every jot and tittle. I'm not that way. And most people here are not that way, no matter where you fall on the spectrum. What I'm trying to illustrate for you is the fact that we need to be thinking about this. Why is this important? Well, in Acts chapter 16, Paul is going to, it's right after he's met Lydia, the seller of purple. Remember this? We're running a little short on time, so you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But if you remember the story, they're witnessing and preaching through the streets, and behind them is following a demon-possessed girl. And do you remember what she's saying? She's saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. She does this for several days, and finally, Paul is grieved, the Bible says, and he turns around and he casts the evil spirit out of her. Well, let me ask you a question. Was what she was saying correct? Yes. Well, then it's great. The truth is being proclaimed. Wait a minute. Paul cared about the context in which the truth was proclaimed. A number of reasons. Number one, he didn't want the message of the gospel to be confused with the message of the devil. Number two, this is my opinion. Ready? Here's my opinion. Opinion alert. Ding, 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 ding. We don't know the tone of voice in which she said it. These men are servants of the Most High God. That changes the meaning, doesn't it? I heard something not too long ago. Well, let me illustrate it this way. It'd be better. I was preaching to a group of pastors, and it was about 70 or 80 pastors in the room, and I showed a video clip up on the screen, and it was a video of obviously an artist depiction or a movie depiction, but it was the scene of Christ dying on the cross. And what I did was I played different types of music with it. I played a moving string concerto, Adagio for Strings by Barber, for those of you musicians who are interested. And I asked the pastors, does this go with this scene? And many of them were moved to tears. Then I did something on them. I changed the music. And instead, I played Looney Tunes. Now, you want to get a group of pastors riled up? You play a cartoon theme song to the image of the Lord dying on the cross. Now, this was difficult for me to do. I did not like doing this illustration. Then I changed the music yet again, and I played some real, just real sensual jazz, all right? And I matched that with what was going on the screen. And by the way, hear what I'm saying, not what you think I'm insinuating, okay? Just hear what I'm saying. The sound of the jazz, etc., with what was going on the screen were two different things. And let me tell you, those men were ready to stone me. Then I showed them what the clip that I was playing for them was a scene from Jesus Christ Superstar, which, as many of you know, is a musical play designed to mock the Savior. You say, well, that was back in the 1970s. People still do it all over the place, and it was just redone in the year 2000. What's going on here, Brother Ben? The point that I'm trying to make is simply this. How you match, when you put context together with text, then you have meaning. You know, the Bible talks about when the children of Israel, and some of you are checking your watches, that's okay, 4 minutes and I'm done. You can time me if you'd like. The Bible talks about Israel. And in Psalm, they were taken away from their homeland, and their captors said, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. They said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, Lamentation says, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. What's he talking about? How about this? Remember this from a kid. Na, 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 na. Tone of music communicates something. You know, as we close here this morning, I saw something not too long ago that grieved my heart. And again, hopefully you know me well enough to know my heart. That's not my desire to offend people or anything of that nature, but hear me carefully. I saw someone with a t-shirt and had a picture of a beer can. And on that beer can was the word Godweiser. This blood's for you. Now, friend, we don't have time today to talk about all the intricacies of that message. But I hope that you would see the reason that it doesn't just matter what the truth is, but how it's presented. Some of you may think this morning, well, Brother Ben, what's your position? I think, listen, I hope you've noticed I haven't mentioned a group name. I haven't mentioned album covers. I haven't talked about a lot of things. All I want you to do is to think. So, Brother Ben, what if I disagree with you? Hey, listen, some of you know this. Some of you that are in this audience right now who are some of my closest friends, you and I, we don't see eye to eye on it. And that's okay. Why? You may not cut the cake the same way that I do. But we need to agree there's a cake to be cut. We need to agree that this is an issue that, let's not just throw it off the table. Let's be seeking God, asking God, Lord, show me. What do you have for me on this issue? Well, guide me, direct me. I'm full well in the realization that every single person in this room, you come from a different background. You grew up a different way. I'll tell you this, churches in the South sound different than churches in the North. We're down in Mexico. They had me come down and teach on music. There were some differences down in Mexico, let me tell you. I know that. But you know what? If God's Word contains everything for life and godliness, and it does, then that means there must be principles here that help us in every aspect of our life. What we watch, what we say, what we think about, and what we listen to. Oh, friends, this morning, I hope this is an encouragement to you. I hope this is something that causes each and every one of us, myself included, to take a moment and just say, Lord, are there areas in my life where I'm holding on to something that doesn't look like you? Lord, help me to take that out. Oh, friends, this morning, the power of music. I was up at about 3 o'clock this morning as we were moving into our trailer still. And it's not done when you go out there, just so you know. I was scrabbling down some notes. There's so much more here. And I hope you understand, too, that usually this message is about an hour in length. And so there's more here. And you can see all kinds of incredible things in Scripture. For example, I'll say one and then we're done. There's around 500 musical references in Scripture. Some people say, well, yeah, those are just in the Old Testament talking about, you know, praising God or something like that. Wait a minute. All those references, they connect music with human emotion. That's important. Why? Because God's Word talks a lot about how we think and how we feel, because that becomes how we act. I've heard some folks say recently a bunch of different things, and it's just caused me to say, hey, listen, let's go to God's Word. Lord, just show me principles that I can live my life by. I hope this is an encouragement to you. I appreciate your attention so much this morning as we talked about this subject.